Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of My Darkest Hour. I am your host, Stefan Brigati, and I want to thank you for joining me. I know a lot of the states are opening back up, and we're experiencing what we're looking at going into basically a whole new world. We got used to doing things a certain way. This happened, and it kind of woke us up a little bit. So as we're going back to what we think is the norm, let's try to take it precautiously and precautiously. I don't even know that's a word. I could have made that up. I'm going to copyright that when I get off the show here. Anyway, be cautious out there. Practice safe distancing. We're not out of this yet. I know there are a lot of conflicts, people taking it seriously and people who are not taking it seriously. I have personally lost a friend to the whole COVID thing. So it's not really a joke. It's just depends on what your system's doing, how it's reacting to the virus. Some people get it and they don't have any reaction at all to it. It's just a strange thing, but it definitely did wake us up a bit and get us back on track with all of our safe distancing and our washing hands and just being more cautious about germs and stuff. So hope things will be getting better. So tonight on the show, long-time friend of the show, glad to call him a friend of mine, Douglas Carnahan. He's been on the show multiple times for different variances of shows. We've talked about extreme haunted survivors. You know, a lot of people think there's just hauntings and they're all kind of basically the same or whatever, but that's not the case. For those of us who are in the field that have been doing this quite a while, know that there are different levels of haunting, and Doug has gone through an extreme haunting, so we'll let him talk about that. He's also a well-known lecturer, TV and radio host. One of the things that I really admire and about Doug is he puts on these huge events. You know, besides taking the time to do the paranormal research and all the stuff that he's done, he puts on these incredible events a couple times a year throughout the year. And I've been doing these with him for a long time now. And somebody who really puts their heart and soul into bringing the best of the best together, you know, trying to make not only the different types of people involved in the paranormal, but the people who are actually making it happen in those segments of the paranormal. You know, so when you go to one of Doug's events, you're getting an automatic variety of the paranormal field, from psychics to the researchers, the science-based people, People like me who like to talk about the theories behind hauntings, makes it a little bit easier for those who just don't understand what's going on. Spelling it out a little bit makes a little more sense to them. So I really appreciate those events. And everyone I've been to has been incredibly great. So let's not waste any more time. Let's go ahead and bring Doug on the show. And then we can start asking him a little bit about his background, the stuff that he's been doing. And, of course, find out a little bit more what's going on with his events coming up. So, Doug, hi, how you doing?
Hey, brother, I am doing fantastic, man. Thanks for having me on the show again. I really appreciate it. It's always a good time to come and chat it up with you, brother.
Yeah, exactly, man. It's great to talk to you. I was just telling the people listening to the show about the different levels of paranormal haunting. And, of course, one of the ones that we talk about with you, of how you on the show, talking about the extremity of the extreme haunting. You know, you're a haunted survivor.
Right.
Just give us a little quick background about that so the new people who haven't heard you talk about it get an idea.
God, I can't imagine that there's anybody out there that doesn't know my story, but but I will share it anyway.
For the media. Right, awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, it's like a broken record I've been talking about for so many years, 30-plus years. But the paranormal, you know, growing up, a lot of people have lived in, you know, haunted houses or had experiences as children and or young adults or whatnot, you know. I didn't have those. I didn't live in a haunted house. I didn't have experiences as a child or as a teenager or even in my 20s. My first experience was I was in my 30s and early 30s. And I had just prior moved into a nice townhouse apartment, little two-story townhouse apartment in Fremont, California, and had a business of my own. And I was, you know, I was a young bachelor and life was great, you know, and I was doing fine. And one night, had my routine. I go, you know, I do my work and come home and do my paperwork and get ready for the next day. And then go downstairs and you know, watch TV, have dinner. And then that was it for the night, and then start all over, just, you know, everyday stuff that we do, you know, going through life. So one evening, it was, I'm telling you right now, I'm bad with dates and times. I can't give you an exact date, but it was football season. I know that. It's like, I believe it was in November, and late November, early December. And I was sitting there, I was watching a football game, and a commercial came up, and I said, well, I'm going to pop up and go into the kitchen there and grab a beer and come back and watch the rest of the game. So I did that. I popped up off the couch and started walking across the living room floor, and I probably got 3 or 4 steps into it, and boom, I got hit so hard in the chest that it almost knocked me down. And you know, brother, I'm not a little guy. It'll take a pretty good pop.
That's
to knock me down.
Right, yeah.
So my first thought was there's an intruder in the room. I do have a military and I do have a police background. So I'm thinking intruder, somebody's, you know, attacking me. I'm you know, might be danger real Robinson, you know? And so, so I'm spinning around like a dog chasing his tail, trying to figure out who's in this room, you know, trying to find somebody. And there's nobody there. So I'm just kind of scratching my head, dumbfounded, and go, what the hell was that? Now, this is how my brain was working. Now I'm smelling something. I'm smelling like, and you probably smelt this, like burnt wires, like electrical wires.
Yeah.
Been burnt. I don't know if you ever. Yeah, it has a distinct smell, you know? And so I kind of get a sense of that in the air, and I'm going, what the hell? Maybe I got electrocuted. Maybe something shocked me out of the wall, it was a wet and rainy night. Maybe a lightning. I don't know, dude. So I couldn't figure it out. So I said, what the hell, man? So I still wanted that beer. So I go, well, I'm going to go in the kitchen and get that beer. So I popped back up off the couch because I sat back down at the couch and kind of figured it out. So I popped back up, started heading back to the kitchen, and boom, it did it again. Did it again. And I'm going, what the hell? So now the Irish comes out. Now I'm pissed. What the hell is going on here? Now it started sinking in that, okay, what, this is something supernatural, what, you know, ghosts, spooks, I don't know. What's going on? So I sat back down on the edge of the couch, and this time I'm like in my ready mode. I'm like, what is going on here? Nothing. I couldn't see nothing, couldn't feel anything. And I'm going, this is so bizarre, dude. So at this point, this is like the third time. I got hit three times. On the fourth time, I was pissed off. I said, okay, I don't know what you are, who you are, but you're not stopping me from doing what I want to do. And basically, I did the old Red Rover, send Dougie on over, you know? And I started, I bulled up like a bull in a china, you know, Kevin, and started heading towards that spot. And it wouldn't let me go. And then, boom, I went right through it. So after that, I grabbed the beer, I came back to the couch, and the whole night was just on alert. What was going on? Nothing. So I went upstairs, went to bed, went to work the next day, came back home, no problem. Went to bed, came back, and the second night, it started again. So this time, it started with the pushing, with the slight, you know, pushing me back or pushing me off away from a certain area, and now it starts getting more aggressive. The more aggressive and combative I became, the more aggressive and combative it became. So now it's punching, now it's slapping, now it's biting. And this was a six-month ordeal, and it was almost, I won't tell you it was every day or every night, but it was at least 4 to 5 times a week that this would happen. And it got so aggressive that it was picking me up, dude, and throwing me around like a rag doll. Now,
wow.
I know the neighbors must have thought I was out of my friggin' mind. They must have thought I was nuts. I went to the management. Now I'm thinking, you know, paranormal. But I didn't know anything about paranormal back, you know, we're talking about back in the 80s, you know, early 80s. We didn't have our computers. We didn't have our TVs. We didn't have the shows on. We had, you know, the best thing we had was a palm reader down the street. You know? That was all the paranormal I knew at that point. So then I started going and trying to find everything I could in the library or everything I could at the metaphysical bookstores, trying to find what, you know, what could this be? What's going on? And I got some pretty good, you know, some interesting reading and stuff to help me kind of understand what was happening. But again, this lasted for about 6 months. I didn't get any help from management because I thought, well, maybe somebody passed away in the apartment. They didn't know it and saw me as an intruder because that's not what I felt. I felt like somebody was trying to get me out. They wouldn't give me any information, Privacy Act and all that kind of good stuff. So I was left on my own. I went to the neighbors as well, and I said, hey, did you know the people that moved here or that was here before me? And they had all moved there after I moved in, so they didn't know the neighbors, all the people around me. So that was weird. But nobody knew of anybody. Nobody could help me. So at about the last evening, it was so horrific, dude. I mean, it was like I was getting the crap beat out of me. And it was like, this is when I was getting tossed like a rag doll and getting punched and thrown, bitten, choked, the whole nine yards. And the funny thing about it, it got to the point where my caveman senses started coming out, where I knew when an attack was starting going to happen. I could feel that the air change, you know, the atmosphere changing, getting heavier, like the electricity in the air. You could feel it. You could smell it. And I get ready for it. And I swear, I know they say Ali invented the rope-a-dope, but I think I did. Because I would get in that position, kind of cover my face up, didn't do any good, but I did it anyway, and get prepared for the beating. Because there's no way I could stop it. I had to endure it. You know what I'm saying? In my mind, if I endured it and walked away, I won. If that makes any sense at all. Now, what I know today, 35 years later, what I know today, there's no way in hell I would ever, advise a client to do what I did. I didn't know any better at that time. I didn't know. But what I think I actually did was, what I actually think I did was outwilled what I know now was a low-grade demonic entity. That is what I was dealing with. How I got there, why it was there, why it lay dormant for 6 months. Because I was in there 6 months with nothing happening. And all of a sudden, one night, it just happened. I don't know. But that was my introductory into the paranormal field. And I've been involved in it ever since.
See, that's pretty intense. Most people, it's little things. You know, grandma comes to visit, or they're living in an apartment, and cups are moving, or things are misplaced and coming back and finding weird locations.
Most people have never been touched, in a physically harmed by a spirit. They've been scared to death, things moving, things tossed at
somebody's
them.
Somebody's sitting on the edge of the bed, that kind of thing.
Right. But when you get to the point where you're being choked and bitten, physically picked off the ground and thrown, that's an extreme haunting.
Yes.
And that's what I was bringing. And I'm not the only one. It's rare. But there are people that have experienced what I have as well out there. There's not a lot of them, but there are people out there. And my thought was, when all this was said and done, when it was gone and I knew it was gone, my thought was, okay, what do I do? Just cover this up? Just pretend it never happened? I couldn't do that. My thought was, first of all, I wanted to know what happened. I was still in the what's going on here stage, and I still had and when I'm learning every day, I can't say that I know half of everything. I don't know everything. I know a lot, and I can usually figure things out, but at this point in my career, there's still things to be learned, and you know that, and everybody out there should know that. You never get it all. You never understand it all. Even my friend Johnny Zaffis, he don't know it all, you know? It's everybody out there has to go by their experiences. My experience has been different than yours. Yours have been different than mine. So you probably have experienced things and know things I don't, and vice versa. So, my thought was, I got to find out what this is, what this was. And the biggest fear I had was, if this could happen to me, if something could pick me up, throw me across the room, and cause me this much havoc, you know, and pretty much, if I would have let it, destroyed my life. It could happen to somebody else. It could happen to children. And that's what really scared me. What if there was a family out there that something like this was happening to, and nobody could help them? What would happen? So that was my biggest fear. And that's why I really decided that this is something I have to, I don't know if I want to say dedicate my life to, but I kind of have. This is what I've been doing. This is my life for the last 35 plus years.
Yeah. I think when we experience something like that, we don't experience just a haunting. We, in a way, become haunted. It becomes part of what we're doing. It becomes, we know it's there, so we kind of experience that as we go through our lives. We go to these different places, and we're experiencing stuff all the time. So it's kind of part of your life now. It's just,
right.
Like I was saying, people start off with small little things and build up, but you started with an extreme haunting, so you went right to that level.
It was like an E-ride, man.
Yeah. So everything
an E-ride Disneyland.
Like, yeah, everything else after that was just like no big deal compared to something like that. And I get it. I'm experiencing stuff too. I've been punched in the face and I've been bitten before, but to go through that 4 times a week at your home where we normally feel safe and secure at our location, but to be somewhat victimized in your space by something you can't see that you only feel coming on, that's very scary and horrifying in a lot of ways.
It did a number on me, man. I didn't see my children for about 6 or 7 months because of this. I was afraid that they would attack them. So it was my time with my kids was disrupted. My time with friends. I can't tell you. I've always had a lot of friends, but I've had, you know, a group that I can call my friends that I'm tight with, and it totally disturbed that. And the other thing was I was just in starting a relationship with a young woman that actually lived there at the complex as well, and I met her and her son. She had a young son, and when myself at the pool there, when I was out there with my son, and we got to talking and went out on a few dates and stuff like that, and it started. It was a relationship that was in the, you know, the beginning stages, but it's growing. And when this started, my fear was, this is gonna. I don't want this to affect her. So it got to the point where I was having to kind of. I was afraid to tell anybody exactly what was happening, because at that time, we didn't discuss these things. It was like taboo. You know, people think you're nuts. Hey, yeah, I got something beating me up, you know, in the middle of the night. Yeah, right, dude. So, so it's like, so when I would get a phone call or whatever, and this young lady would say, hey, you know, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Or what are you doing tomorrow night? Or blah, blah, blah. You know, and I'd always have an excuse. I'd always put it off. And it got to the point where, yeah, you know how women are, man, when they're going to find out what's going on. So actually, for one night, she come knocking on the door. I didn't know it was her. It was what I answered the door, and here she was. She goes, okay, we got to talk. What's going on? So she just said, I said, no, it's not a good time. She goes, bullshit. So, and then she come. And here was the funny thing, and I still to this day don't understand it. The apartment complex was a two-story, or my apartment was a townhouse. So it's the bedrooms. I had a two-bedroom. One was my office from the business that I had, and one was my bedroom. And then downstairs was the living room and a half-bath kitchen and dining area. So all this stuff, my attacks and stuff always happened downstairs. Now, once I believe I was knocked down, this coming down the stairs, halfway down, I was tripped or knocked down. I fell down the stairs. But I would swear on a stack of Bibles, but I came down the stairs somehow. But up in the bedroom where sleeping in, nothing. I never had any incidents up there with this entity. So she came over and I go, okay, well, all right, well, let's go upstairs and watch a movie. So we went upstairs, and we're talking, and I still wasn't honest with her. I said, you know, I'm going through a lot of stuff, and blah, 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 blah. And let's watch a movie. So we put on a movie, and we were watching a movie, and I fell asleep. And I don't know, I woke up like about 2 in the morning, and the TV was still like buzzing, like the, you know, the video was over. So it was kind of buzzing, and she wasn't there. Kind of went downstairs and looked around. She wasn't there. She was gone. No note, no nothing. I'm going, all right, well, that's probably for the best. She left, so no problem. So I didn't think about it, but a couple of days later, I go, well, I haven't heard from her. What's going on? Now I'm curious. What's going on? So I was calling her and not getting the answers. So about a week later, I go, well, let me go over to the apartment. So I went over there and knocked on the door, no answer. I go, that's weird. So come to find out, dude, she had left. In like a week's time, she had packed up, moved, gone, and the office wouldn't give me her forwarding address or anything. But so I was like, what the hell? This is strange. So 3 or 4 or 5 years later, I'm grocery shopping in this in a Safeway, going down the one aisle, and I look up, and here she is, coming the opposite way. I'm going, what the hell? And she had a little, like a little two-year-old baby with her. I'm going, wow, man, what's going on? Hey, you remember me? She goes, oh, yeah, I remember you. I'm going, what the hell happened? What? You know, I see you. She goes, oh, I got married and blah, blah, blah. I go, that's awesome. I'm happy for you. But what happened that night? I mean, you just disappeared. And she told me that I fell asleep. She was still watching the show, but she got thirsty. So she went on downstairs to the kitchen. And as she was going downstairs to the living room, she was attacked. And this entity grabbed her, threw her up against, like, the wall and was kind of lifting her off the ground. And she could hear in her ear that if she didn't leave, she was going to die. So and
wow.
she said this thing dropped her to the ground. She was so freaked out that she had left her purse and her shoes downstairs, and that's all she ate. She didn't have anything upstairs to grab, so she grabbed her purse and shoes and gone. She was gone. She took off, and she was so fearful for her life that she moved, and she was scared that it was like attached to me or whatever, you know. And and she for years, she said she was just terrified. And then she felt bad that she left me hanging, but she didn't, at that point, she didn't know how to get a hold of me or anything like that. So I didn't know that, though, for 3 or 4 or 5 years. Excuse me. I didn't know that transpired until I met her, years later in a grocery store and asked her about it. So it was, yeah. So this thing was pretty much trying to keep everything away from me so it could basically isolate me and try to, you know, have me one-on-one. So it was quite an ordeal.
Wow. Must have been terrifying for her because she didn't know anything about that. And that happens. I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty hardcore.
Yeah. I mean, again, I, you know, hindsight being 2020, I should have stood my ground and said, hey, I can't relate to any of this crazy shit happening. You wouldn't understand, but sorry. But I didn't. I felt bad. I cared about her a lot, and I was still, I guess, I don't know, hopeful that there could have been something there after all this shit, you know, went down. But, you know, I guess I was selfish at the time, and she got hurt. And, you know, it's my fault. So I'm not very proud of that moment, but... you know, you don't think of these things at times.
Yeah.
I do now, but I know it can happen.
You wouldn't have expected that to happen, but it did.
Right.
And she didn't tell you anything about it, so you wouldn't have known. So, that's not good for dating. You know, wow.
Yeah. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. It's like, wow.
Yeah, incredible, you know. At least you got through it. You know, those things, if that kind of entity wanted to, it could be persistent, just keep taking jabs at you forever if it wanted to, you know?
Well, let me put it to you this way, brother. When you, the way I see it, I won the fight. There's still a battle to be fought. When that's going to happen, I don't know. Many, many psychics say there's darkness that follows you. So it can't touch you right now, but it's following you. It's waiting for you to weaken.
Yeah, it's tracking you. It's waiting for that moment. Yeah.
So there's still a battle to be fought. And I'm, you know, one of these days we're gonna meet somewhere in a dark alley and go at it. I don't know. My friend, I don't know, you know Billy Bean, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, Bill Bean, I love the guy to death. And he's got a kind of a similar story that I do. And as Billy says, we're in the book. He says, they know who you are. You're in their book because you did stand up to them. Mm-hmm. And they know who you are. And they're one of these days, they're gonna come for you.
So, yeah, they're gonna try. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'm just trying to stay strong and prepare. And I don't know that a year ago it was be a year ago next month. No, yeah, next month. A year ago next month that I passed away. I don't know if you remember that. I ended up in ICU and passed away three times, and I came back, and there's a reason I came back. There's got to be a reason I came back, today I feel great. I feel healthy. I'm alert and, taking care of business. So I'm ready to keep moving forward. And I've moved from California. I'm in Arizona now. I'm loving it. It's hotter than hell. But I'm loving it.
Yeah.
Just change of pace, for me. But I'm eager for all this craziness to finally go away with the pandemic and all that stuff, and be able to get out more and tour around and travel and meet people and live life and have fun.
That's awesome. And knowing you, that's a great thing, because you sound stronger. You sound more alert. You sound like whatever happens. When you came back,
it gave you
another burst of energy. Like, okay, let's take this on again. Let's do this,
And
just talking to you, I can pick up on that energy. It sounds great. I mean,
well, that in itself is another story. There's some people out there in the field that are not very good people. Let me tell you that. And if you ever heard anybody say, they had a curse put on them, and you don't believe it, believe me. I had a curse put on me, and it killed me. So, just for stupid shit. But people have the abilities. There's people out there that have the abilities that can do that to you. And it took me down. It took me down. It was a 6-7 month ordeal that just killed me. But something came back and said, Doug, you are not, it's not your time, brother. It's not your time, man. You got things to do. So for some godly known reason, I'm back here I'm ready to take it on. I'm ready to take it on. So there's some evil out there still, man. There's some evil. There's books coming. Believe me, I'm going to be writing a couple books, and I'm going to lay it out. Not sure that I'll be naming names, but I think some of us already know who we're talking about.
Yeah, there are some people who do some weird stuff like that.
Yep.
And they say that they're doing good and trying to help people and this and that and blah blah blah, but it's all about the intent. And when they start doing that kind of stuff, it's not a good intent.
Yep.
It's a bad intent. Trying to cause harm is just trying to cause harm. Not good for anybody.
Absolutely. But that in itself was an amazing little ordeal as well. So it's, I'm going to put, I need to put that one down on paper and share that with people, because it's unbelievable the stuff that I went through and experienced.
Did you have any dreams, or did you see anybody? Did you talk to anybody when you were passing?
I had, let's see, from November to July, I had constantly, when I thought I was laying my head down to sleep I wasn't sleeping. And I was in constant, having constant conversations with what I know now are two ghouls, because I caught them. But to me, I was just having just conversations just about any and everything. Things, subjects I have no knowledge of. But I was having full-on conversations with these creatures. And what they were doing, they were totally just keeping me awake. Totally keeping me awake. In my thought process, I thought I was sleeping and dreaming. I wasn't sleeping though. I didn't get the, you know, I didn't get the benefit of sleeping or resting. All right. So that went on for what, 7-8 months. In the inner lube, I would you know, normally I'd get up in the morning and I'd say, hey, I'm hungry, duh. Get yourself something to eat. They would talk me out of eating for weeks at a time. Weeks at
wow.
a time. But I had no real concept of time. And you know, I would sit at the edge of my bed. I'd wake up and sit at the edge of my bed for days. It's bizarre, dude. I'm telling you. It was
wow.
bizarre. Yeah. And and it was like, and what it did was just totally destroyed me. My immune system destroyed everything within me. I was just a puddle, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how I survived it. I really seriously don't. You don't see yourself, though, you know? You don't see what other people see. My daughter would come and visit me and go, Dad, what is wrong with you? What is going on with you? I go, what are you talking about? She goes, you had all night long. She said, I can hear you. She'd stay over, you know, and stay in one of the other guest bedrooms. And she said, all night long, I just hear you talking. And talking and talking and talking about shit I've never heard you talk about. Just stuff just flowing. And you're answering, then you get mad because they didn't answer you back quickly enough. Yeah. I'm going, I don't know. I thought I was dreaming. She goes, no, dude, you're not dreaming. This is you're having these full blown conversations. So but I didn't see it. And it didn't really register to me at the time. When I thought I was rolling up, you didn't know this story was going this way, did you? when I roll up out of bed and, you know, sit on the edge of bed and you just get the, you know, shake the little cobwebs out of your head a little bit, I didn't realize I was sitting there for a day at a time. Hours, day, a day or a time, 2 days. 2 days. I'd sit there for 2 days. At the edge of my bed. Bizarre,
wow.
dude. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
And
I'm
about as mentally sound as anybody you would ever know. I am not in any way, shape, or form. I don't have any psychological issues. So it made no sense. I mean, once I snapped out of it. Once I snapped out of it, and I did have a friend that was Wicca at the time, that I started talking to him about it a little bit after my daughter was telling me what was going on.
Uh-huh.
So I started talking to him about it a little bit, and I said, could I have a curse put on me? She goes, yes, you have a curse put on you. I go, can you help me? Is there anything you can do to help back this curse up or whatever? So they sent me some potions. They sent me some candles and some stuff to smudge and stuff. And I did that. And I think at that point, I think it helped a lot to break it, break the spell, so to speak. And at that point, one night, I could hear myself having these conversations. And for some reason, I opened my eyes, and these creatures didn't know, I guess, that I had kind of broken the spell at that point.
Uh-huh.
And I could see them standing at the edge of the bed. And they were like two little ghouls. And once they realized that I could see them, they took off like little rats, you know, and just poof, disappeared.
Yeah, because their cover's been blown.
Yeah. And at that point, it slowly started to get back to normal. But then the damage had already been done with the sleep, you know, no sleep, no food, your immune system down to zero. They said I had enough when they got me into the hospital. They said I had enough carbon monoxide poison in my system to kill a horse.
Wow.
They don't understand how I could even survive as long as I did. And then they got me into ICU, and in ICU, you think they take care of you. No, I died three times in ICU.
Man.
So
crazy.
So that's another story right there, brother. That is another story in the life of Dougie Fresh.
Yeah. Extreme. I mean, from one extreme to another extreme. That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. Believe me.
Yeah.
But it can happen.
Absolutely.
I didn't believe it until.
It's real, man. I've seen a lot of crazy things happen with that, and it's strong.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't. I guess you don't even have to believe in it, because I didn't really believe in it. But I don't know if they got a piece of my hair or what. I don't know. I don't know how they do it, how they did it, or kind of know why they did it. It was pretty selfish, but we'll leave that for the book.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm glad you got through that one too.
Yeah.
I'm
fatter than I want to be. I need to lose some weight, but I'm happy and looking forward to the future. I mean, I just had my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, brother.
Man.
Thank you. I mean, I'm 65, but I don't feel it. I don't think I look it.
You don't look it.
I don't feel
all.
It, and I'm. I look at it as, you know, I've got. I'm going to push 100 and piss a lot of people off.
Just keep going, man. Absolutely. They're trying to take you out, and it just isn't working. So you just got to keep going.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, speaking of the future, let's talk about Virginia City Paracon coming up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for it. Unfortunately, again, with this craziness, it was in May, so we moved it to August. It's going to be 7th, 8th, and 9th. And there's, I'm not in front of my computer, so if you got the lineup there for me.
Yeah, I just put a link.
Don't forget. Don't forget to include yourself in it. So we got a lot of awesome people. We've had a couple speakers that had to bow out, unfortunately. But we brought a lot of speakers and people on board that are just as awesome, and I'm looking forward to it. Now, as far as we all got it, it's the new norm, right? I mean, everybody's going to be together, so we need to wear our mask. We're going to have masks available for people. So when we're in the conference area, we're going to kind of insist on people wearing masks. I know it's inconvenient a lot of times, but it's for everybody's good. We'll have hand sterilizer and all that kind of good stuff. But as far as Nevada, it's they're opening it back up. They're opening Vegas up right now. So come August, I don't foresee there being any issues or problems. I know there's no issues with travel or anything like that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We've got a great lineup of people. We've got a lot of people coming. And I'm still working on a couple more places to investigate as well. So hopefully by that time we'll have a couple new places to investigate as well. But I can't promise that, but I'm trying.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be huge. I mean, the 10th annual, and of course, you're going to be there hosting, which you do an incredible job at all these events. You have the Gates are going to be there. They're always great. They have 10,000 great stories to talk about of Kampani as well. Patty Negri, I mean, she's just absolutely wonderful. I've been hanging out with her a bit down here, and
I love Patty. She is a good witch. She's awesome.
Super awesome. Eric Knapp, awesome.
He's awesome, dude.
Bridget Mark, I always mess up her last name. It's Marquardt, right?
Say it one more time.
Bridget, how do you spell her last name?
Maquette.
Is that how you say it?
I believe so.
Okay, yeah. She's going to be there. She's great. I know her through the Temporellis and stuff. Sharon Newton Limo. Father Sebastian is going to be there. He's got some great stories.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet him and hear all about his.
Me, him, and Patty went to that theater I was telling you about and had a good old time. That was fun.
Oh, sweet. Very cool.
Henry, San Miguel.
Yep.
Dr. Jeff Dwyer, of course. I just talked to him the other day. Ann Bender, who's great. Mr. Awesome, Don Staggs. He's going to be there.
Uncle Don.
I can't wait. Stephanie Hutnick.
Yep.
And Mr. Barry Conrad, of course.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, stuff. I think it's a good lineup. We got a little diversity there, and I mean, come on, you got a vampire, witches, and psychics, and paranormal investigators. Come on, the only thing we left out was the werewolves. That's next year. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. We'll figure out things for lichens and stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But like I was saying in the beginning of the show about your events, you bring a little bit of everything on the table, so there's quite a variety of paranormal there to get involved with. So it makes it more interesting. You know, there's nothing dull about anything going on. It's always something different happening, and that's what's exciting about it.
Absolutely.
I'm excited. I'll be there, so that'll be great. Can't wait.
Yeah. Wouldn't be an event without you, brother.
I appreciate that, man. So we'll definitely have to hang out and do some investigating together. So it'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Like I said, it's a family reunion, and I totally believe that, because every time I go to one of your events, it's just like a family reunion. You see everyone, and everyone just picks up exactly where they left off. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. They hadn't seen anybody since the last, Paracon there in Virginia City, and it's like a huge family reunion now at this point, and I'm proud of that. I mean, I pure unity, let's get real, it's probably never going to really happen. But just for a weekend, it does. It does. Everybody groups together. We put aside any kind of goofy craziness that's going on, and we all work together and have fun. Have a good time. And then at the end of it, you guys can go on your separate ways and cry and complain about it, whatever you want. But none of that allowed at the Paracon, man.
Yeah, you have 3 days of happiness, so you better enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's great. You just had that episode of Beneath the Bonanza Saloon came out.
That was kind of interesting.
In Virginia City. It was a great episode. So it kind of shows you what to expect for those who are listening out there. At the Virginia City Paracon, it's funny because I'm watching that episode, and I'm like, "Yeah, there's that spot where me and Don were standing, and then that happened right here. And this is where the lights are flickering on and off, and we couldn't figure out how the light switch was going like that."
Yeah,
I mean, it's just all those great things. And I remember when we were wrapping up that night, I forgot her name, the lady who runs that place. She screamed real quick and ran up that little ramp from the bottom area.
And probably Jesse.
Yeah, she's super nice lady. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
But that was such a great place. You know, me and Jay were upstairs. I had a couple of meters he wanted to check out, so we were just kind of sitting on that up area. And, you know, the meters are going crazy and we're interacting, and it was a real good experience. It doesn't disappoint at all. And
no, the banana.
The banana
was.
That's a great place.
Yeah, Bonanza has a lot of. People don't realize that there's a three levels there. You got your main floor, but downstairs you got the basement, and then upstairs you got some rooms and lofts that people swear up and down. There's a portal up in there. There's always active. The whole building's extremely active. It can be a little aggressive at times, but you know they're all like that. So keep yourselves together and do your protection prayers, and everybody should be good.
Absolutely. Got to investigate safe.
Yes.
I wonder if it's going to be stranger for the spirits to see everyone trying to communicate with them wearing face masks. Like, oh, what's this?
I don't know. I don't know. It'd be kind of bizarre. They haven't seen anybody or a lot of people for a while, I'm sure. And I know they haven't done any investigations in there since Ghost Adventures had been in there. So that's been a while. So that was late last year that they actually did that investigation. So that's pretty much the last time anybody's actually did any investigating there. So it's going to be ready. It's going to be cool. And then, you got the Mackey Mansion. That's always an amazing location. You got the Queen's Hotel, Silver Queen Hotel, is always interesting. And I'm looking to negotiate here real soon for a couple other places. It's just a matter of getting people to return their phone calls, which isn't always easy. Like, come on, man. Trying to give you money.
They might start returning your phone calls now, because now they're actually going to be answering the phones because someone will be there.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It's
but yeah,
City.
So they're opening it. So it ought to be good. I mean, we ought to be good. As far as safety and all that's concerned, I mean, let's all be adults. Let's be smart about it. You know, wear your mask. We're going to ask you to wear your mask. We're going to actually kind of demand you wear your mask. So if for nothing else, just for, maybe it doesn't do any good for you, but it's going to help somebody else. I mean, let's show a little kindness out there. So, and it's not for a big deal. Just wear your mask. We'll have masks available if you don't bring some, or if you're tired of wearing the same one, you know, we'll get you another one. We'll have hand sanitizer and stuff of that nature. We're going to put the vendors back off a little bit from the way we had it last year, so that we separate them a little bit more. Honestly, are we going to sit people 6 feet apart? No, that's not going to happen. But I'm pretty confident at this point that if everybody uses common sense and keep your hands clean and don't be coughing on each other and stuff like that, you're going to be good. I don't foresee it. I mean, I see it. I know you lost somebody. I lost a dear friend as well because of this this virus. And it is. It's a real deal for people who have respiratory issues, you know. It's very serious. But if we all use common sense, and and are cautious with what we do and how we do it, I don't foresee any issues or problems why we all can't have a good time.
Absolutely agree. Like I said, after every show, you know, if you want to investigate safe. You know, we're still going through this, and safety is better for everybody. Wear your mask when you're out there. Protect yourself.
Right. Right. Yeah. Just be smart about it. Come on.
That's right. Investigate smart. For those of you interested in finding out more about the Virginia City Paracon, you can go to vcparacon.com. It'll give you the rundown of the speakers. You have a list of the vendors on there as well. Just the times, if you're going to need places to crash, or you need a hotel, There's links for lodging out there. Always a great Paracon. You guys hear me talk about it every year. I've been doing live recordings and broadcasts from there. I'm planning on doing the same thing. I will be running on the YouTube pages and a couple other of the live media stuff that we broadcast out to. I'll be doing live feeds from the Virginia City Paracon as well for everyone that wants to check it out and be a part of it. If you cannot be a part of it, you could always tune in to the channel and see what's going on and talk to the listen to the vendors talk as well, because we'll be covering that as much as possible. So
yeah, cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I can't wait. Just can't wait to get out and go do something cool. It's going to be incredible.
I know. It'll be like it's like everybody pinned up. They're finally let out of the cage. Yay.
All right, Doug, so we're coming to the end of the show. How can people get in touch with you if they want to ask you questions?
You know, the best way is just hit me up on my Facebook page. It's Douglas M. Carnahan. If you haven't friended me already, please do. Or you can go on my webpage, which is dmcarnahanpi.com. And you can check out my webpage. It tells you a little bit background story. And it has all my contact information there on the contact link. So feel free to go there if you need to or want to. But I'm always here available, and I'm here to help. So if you need any help or have any questions for anything, feel free to get a hold of me at any time.
Absolutely. Well, awesome, man. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight and spending some time with us. It's good to hear that you're strong and healthy again and ready to get out there and kick some butt. And I'm looking forward to seeing you very soon, my friend.
All right, brother. Well, I am as well. I miss seeing everybody. And yeah, I look forward to in about 6 weeks we'll be in VC, man, and having a great time.
That's right. We'll keep everyone updated. You guys have been listening to My Darkest Hour. We've been talking with Douglas M. Carnahan. We're talking about the Virginia City Paracon coming up. So check it out. Get information. You can hit him up on his Facebook page, like you just said, or go to his page and find out more. And we hope to see you guys up there. All right, Doug. And thanks for hanging out with us, buddy.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. And good night, everybody. And thanks for putting up with me. Appreciate it.
Later. And for next week, we'll have Jay and Marie Yates will be on the show. We'll find out a little bit more about what they got going on. They have some events coming up too, and find out what they got going on for the Virginia City Paracon as well. So shout out to my sponsors, Chili Man Salsa Company, bringing you the hottest in paranormal salsa with all the flavor you could possibly need. Lizzie Wizzy's Crafty Creations, keeping us warm on those cold nights. And, of course, Mike and everybody over P-Tech, Paranormal Technologies, helping us out with all the equipment we use. Want to give a shout-out to Live Paranormal for making it happen, History FM, Blog Talk Radio for holding everything down, iTunes, Stitcher, Speaker, iHeartRadio, and everybody who's backing the show. Really do appreciate it, and we're just looking ahead to do more and more expansion, and we'll keep you guys updated with the paranormal show and the channels for YouTube. So we will talk to you guys next week. In the meantime, if you're going out there to investigate, remember to investigate safe. We'll see you next time.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox Sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.